Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today we look back at Paul Robeson, the great African-American singer, actor and civil rights leader who spent a lot of time in the Soviet bloc, including in communist Czechoslovakia. And former mayor of Prague, Jan Kassel, takes us to some of his favourite spots in the city. That's in the latest My Prague. But first, the civil rights movement in the United States sent ripples around the world, not least in the Soviet Union and its satellites. In Czechoslovakia, those events were followed closely as the struggle for the rights of African Americans became a weapon in the ideological battles between East and West. Czech Radio's archives has several recordings of civil rights activists who visited Czechoslovakia between 1948 and 1989, or were interviewed at home in the United States. One was the singer, actor and activist Paul Robeson, who came to this country several times. Working with journalism students from the Anglo-American University in Prague, David Vaughan now looks back to Robeson's celebrated but controversial visit to Prague at the end of the 1950s.
In 1949, a year after the communists came to power in Czechoslovakia, Paul Robeson visited Prague and sang at the Prague Spring Classical Music Festival. Robeson was already famous around the world thanks to his powerful bass voice, immortalized in his rendering of Old Man River from the musical Showboat. He was also one of the great Shakespearean actors of his generation and an articulate and influential political activist. Here is his wife Eslanda, interviewed by Czechoslovak radio in London in 1964, remembering that visit to Prague 15 years earlier.
One of the things Paul has always been very grateful for was the fact that your government asked our government for Paul to come to sing at the Czechoslovak Musical Festival. This was a very marvelous thing because it was an official governmental request at a time when our government was keeping Paul from travelling anywhere for any reason.
Robeson was openly sympathetic towards communism and the Soviet Union.
Robeson was a communist but also a peace activist, insisting that Americans did not want war with the Soviet Union and should support friendship with the socialist nations. These remarks led to revocation of Robeson's passport and destroyed his credibility in the United States. Some in the press even called for his execution.
Journalism student Benjamin Goings.
In the 1950s, he was blacklisted from Hollywood because of his radical political beliefs and his connections and praise for the Soviet Union, preventing him from performing in concert halls and on the radio. He was also forced to testify in front of the House Un-American Activities Committee, where he vehemently criticized the committee for denying Americans their constitutional rights, regardless of political ideology.
When he refused to condemn Soviet communism, his passport was confiscated, only to be restored in 1958 following the landmark Kent versus Dulles case. A year later, he was in Czechoslovakia again.
Prosím nyní, aby se ujal slova náš milý host Paul Robeson.
He was here on the invitation of the Czechoslovak government, this time for the International Congress of Socialist Culture, held at Prague's Industrial Exhibition Ground in June 1959. Although he stayed for less than 2 days, he was the star guest, along with the Soviet composer Dmitri Shostakovich, and he was given a rapturous welcome by the 2,000 delegates at Prague's Trade Fair Palace.
Jak se máte?
He began his address with the words Jak se máte? How are you? In Czech.
It is a great privilege and pleasure to be with you again here in Prague, to greet my dear friends, the people of Czechoslovakia, and to greet you many friends from many lands. My deepest thanks for your concern over many years, for your help, and for your encouragement. And this is true not only of myself, but of many of us in America who have consistently struggled for peace and friendship with you and with all the peoples of the lands of socialism.
The speech went on to pour praise on the Soviet Union.
On recent visits to the Soviet Union, it was wonderful to see the development, the new cultural growth of many peoples in the eastern sections like Uzbekistan, who have leapt across the centuries into the present and into the future. How inspiring to see the wealth of talent among the youth and in the factories. How wonderful to hear today of the rich potential of the people of your great land, of the deep interest of the workers in all phases of their complex life, of their demands for a rounded reflection of this life in our creative cultural activities.
But the speech was not just about the achievements of the Soviet Union. The theme of the International Congress was culture, and Robeson put forward his ideas of the role of culture in socialism.
Throughout the ages, the great roots of culture have come from the people. The great genius has come from them. I don't need to apologize for my beard, I guess. I'm playing Othello over in Stratford in England. And thinking of the great Shakespeare, there where he walked and lived, I hear the speech of the people of Warwickshire today. The great Shakespeare spoke their language, and the language that he used and uses in his great tragedies and comedies is the result of centuries of creative activity. The very language itself has come and was created by the people, wherever they may be. Any language comes from them.
Robeson also flattered his hosts with references to Czech culture, above all the music of Leoš Janáček.
A great musician, not only who understood so much the richness of his people's language, that the very melody of his music is the melody of the speech of the peoples of Czechoslovakia.
The choice of Janáček as an example was apt, as the composer had been fascinated by the rhythms of ordinary speech, collecting different dialects from his native Moravia and trying to echo them in his music. Ironically, for much the same reason, Janáček had been one of the few patriotic Czech composers approved of by the Nazis during the wartime occupation. His work was seen as springing from the people, the folk. And Robeson extended his praise to another great Czech composer.
And your great Dvořák came to our land and heard the beautiful songs of my folk and pointed out to us in America that here was the basis of a great musical art springing from a people who had been torn from Africa and brought in slavery to the lands of America.
Here he was referring to the celebrated visit by Dvořák to the United States in the 1890s, when the composer took inspiration from the music of African Americans, seeing parallels with the struggles of the Czechs in the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Your great composer came there and pointed out that this was the base and could be the base of great music, and proved it by a great symphony and by string quartets, and his influence still has great importance in America today.
With his charisma and his resounding bass voice, Robeson must have made a huge impression on his audience, including the big delegation from the Soviet Union. Journalism student Lam Nguyen.
In his speech, most of the time he speaks English, but then he also speaks Russian, because he expects the other probably to understand him, and he also wanted to show his personal attachment to the socialist cause.
Melodia тоже сами, мелодия языка.
And what was interesting that he also sang, He sang Russian songs.
Но счастья нет моей измученной души.
It definitely brightened up the speech to make it less boring during that conference.
I mean, he speaks in a very deep voice where it's like almost melodic the way he talks. So it's very authoritative.
Yeah, his voice captures the whole hall.
And you can imagine at a conference like that, there were probably endless speeches going on for hours, and then suddenly there's this. It must have livened it up a bit.
Yes, definitely.
We want you to know that in our part of the world, there are millions, literally, who are struggling, who want peace with the lands of socialism. And we will find peace, as is one of the songs, peace will conquer war. Мир победит войну. Да, победит войну. Thank you again.
The speech came as the culmination of 2 days of speeches in praise of Soviet-style socialism, delivered in the sweltering Great Hall of Prague's Industrial Palace. And it was something of a propaganda coup for Czechoslovakia's communist rulers. But was Paul Robeson just being misused by the ideologues of the Cold War? His socialism stemmed from the struggle of African Americans for emancipation and from his own very real experiences of discrimination, which he felt could only be ended by political means. This is a very different context from 1950s Czechoslovakia. Some of his eulogies of Stalin make for uncomfortable reading, and his uncritical defense of real socialism at the Prague Congress came at a time when political dissent could still mean imprisonment or worse. In the preface to his 1979 novella, The Bass Saxophone, the novelist and great Czech jazz aficionado Josef Škvorecký, writing from exile in Canada, remembered Paul Robeson's visits to Czechoslovakia with bitterness.
They pushed Paul Robeson at us, and how we hated that black apostle who sang of his own free will at open-air concerts in Prague at a time when they were raising the socialist leader Milada Horáková to the gallows, the only woman ever to be executed for political reasons in Czechoslovakia by Czechs, and at a time when the great Czech poets some 10 years later, to be rehabilitated without exception, were pining away in jails. Well, maybe it was wrong to hold it against Paul Robeson. No doubt he was acting in good faith, convinced that he was fighting for a good cause. But they kept holding him up to us as an exemplary progressive jazzman, and we hated him. May God rest his, one hopes, innocent soul.
Perhaps Škvorecký really was being unfair. In 1959, there were still plenty of people, even in Czechoslovakia, who believed that Soviet-style communism could be made to work. And this was still nearly a decade before the occupation of 1968, which brought an end to any remaining illusions about the Soviet Union's intentions for Czechoslovakia. And with over half a century's hindsight, we should be cautious before passing judgment. History is rarely as simple as it looks, and that includes the Cold War. What remains undisputed is Paul Robeson's huge contribution to the civil rights movement in the United States, together with that inimitable bass voice.
Old Man River, that old man River, he must know something, but don't say nothing, he just keeps rolling, he keeps on.
And that report was prepared by my colleague David Vaughan and his students. Now, in the latest edition of My Prague, the city's former mayor, Jan Kassel, shows me around some of his favourite places in the Czech capital. Jan Kassel is well placed to speak about his Prague, given that he was mayor of the city for 4 years at the turn of the millennium. Since then, the one-time liberal politician has returned to his original profession of architect. Our tour of spots in the city close to Kassel's heart begins at Na Slamniku, a traditional pub right by Stromovka and very near where he comes from in Prague 6.
As we were living not far from here, I was used to go from my father to bring beer from Zaškovo, which was a small, I would say, ugly, dirty pub in the corner of Telmanova Street, Verdenska nowadays. But Na Slamniku I remember from maybe late early 60s, when I was like a teenager, maybe 13, 14. This is the traditional meeting point for underground people, for musicians, for local people, for my schoolmates. I was attending the school in Krupko and Amnesty, not far from here.
And is your grammar school the building just up here that looks out over Stromovka?
Yes, exactly. That's the building which is next to the Svatý Gotthard and Gotthard Church.
And given that your school was right beside Stromovka, which is Prague's biggest and, I guess, best park, was Stromovka your playground?
Definitely. Stromovka was a place where we are escaping every day from school, down the hill, Gotthard Street. In winter, bobsledging, skiing, or just sliding, summer walks, football.
Na Slamniku has been renovated. What's your view of the renovation? Because I haven't been here for many years. I used to come here a lot years ago. To me, it looks quite similar.
It's similar with the atmosphere, but it's not. It doesn't smell as much as it did.
It's also because the smoking ban has come in, right?
First, but then it was really... The smoke was in the walls. I think that just painting wouldn't help. And it's very similar in the feeling, but you have new tables, you have new bar, you have probably some shelves are new. And it's quite pleasant. It's keeping the atmosphere... And thanks God, because of the ban of smoking, it won't be smelly and dirty.
There seem to be fewer and fewer of these kind of old-school Prague pubs in existence. Are you nostalgic for those days or those kind of places?
Yeah, that's a good point. Nostalgic for the places, not for times. Because the times were terrible. There was different regime, despite the fact that I was not in jail, I was not a dissident, I was living a reasonable life without wishes to become an important person, becoming a Red Book owner, Communist Party member. So I don't regret times. I regret some atmosphere, certain things which are disappearing.
And are there any particular nights here that stand out in your memory, times in the past?
I definitely got sick sometimes. because of the beer. There are some rendezvous nearby or here. If I'm not mistaken, there was one event when we were in the 9th or 8th class. With friends of mine, we were performing as a group, as a band, a rock band. I played bass guitar. We liked groups like Kinks and Trox and this type of music. So I think once there was some event that we tried to play here. I don't think it was a big success. It was more disaster than success.
I think this is the first pub where I really experienced barman, because my first job was around the corner here. The first pub where I experienced barman always slamming down one more pint before you could
not
even finish.
Asking. Yeah, exactly. Not finishing, not asking. You've got to be here.
But it somehow worked.
Yeah, it worked always. It always the behavior of these guys is much better nowadays. I don't think that we have the type of palivets. You know it from Schweig, the rude guy who hates guests.
Luckily, there are fewer of those guys.
Yeah, there were many guys of this kind. Now fewer and fewer.
From Na Slamniku, it's maybe 500 meters to Pushkinovo Namiestie, a quiet, leafy square in the middle of the Bubenec district where Jan Kassel grew up, and after an absence of 2 decades, today calls home once again. Indeed, the park bench we sit on seems equidistant from a number of key landmarks in his life.
I was born like 100 meters, not even 150 meters from here, in Ruzvoltova. I was in kindergarten, which now the street is Charles de Gaulle. I was living in Telmanova, which is Vagdenská Street. Nowadays I'm living in Eliášova, and we are in the center, which is Pushkinovo Námestí, called Ural for everybody, because the names of streets and squares were derived from First War battlefields, from legions of Czechoslovakia. So you can find it Napiavie, Namarnie, Italia, you can find Ural. There were a lot of names connected with the First World War because the Bubeneč, a new development, was built in 20s, let's say from beginning till mid-30s. So all these were new streets.
What was it like actually growing up in this part of town in the 50s and 60s?
Well, it was a big fun because there were not so many cars. It was a very safe neighborhood. There were some soldiers, some officers living here, some policemen nearby, but we didn't feel like in an endangered area. I was walking from school alone. I was playing football. I was chatting, sitting here on benches, and later on looking for girls, what's going on.
You were telling me on our way here that this area changed a bit after the Soviet invasion of 1968. How was that?
That's true. Because the Russian embassy was, as I remember, from probably end of the war, Podkashtany, where it is. Then they built in mid-60s that industrial representation, or what was the name of that, like semi-rounded building in Sibirske Namestie. And it continued, and after 68, because a lot of Russians moved to Prague, they built the complex of Russian grammar school and high school, which more or less destroyed the atmosphere of old Bubeneč in that part. And a lot of Russians moved in, so there were a lot of Russians living nearby. Nowadays I'm a Slav, because probably I meet more Russians now than I met in early 70s. Because Russians like it here. Kavinka used to be in the corner, Kavinka shop. Then there are a lot of other Arbat and other lot of Russian shops, and Russians like it in Bubeneč. They like Prague 6. They feel probably like safe, and I don't want to say welcome, but not refused.
I've never lived in Prague 6, but whenever I come here, I always feel it's a little bit kind of dead.
It used to be, when we moved in, there were not as many restaurants as they are. We said, oh, what's happening? Jesus, there are so many expats living here. And there were like two restaurants in the vicinity. It's much better now. And we were comparing to Vinohrady and Prague 7, because Letná was booming at that time. There was a coffee or restaurant every second building, and still is. While here, it was a bit slowed down. And it's a bit lazy neighborhood. You are right that this is not the most active and vivid environment neighborhood. It's hipsters on bicycles and coffee shops and all that. People are walking the dog, small kids are playing. It's not noisy. It's a bit lazy neighborhood, and I have nothing against.
From Pushkinovo Náměstí, Jan Kassel and I take public transport down to Malá Strana, the picturesque district beneath Prague Castle. The architect and former politician lived there from the late 1970s to 1999, when he returned to Bubeneč. Though our guide argues that time inevitably moves on, he does have a lot of nostalgia for the Malá Strana of yesteryear.
Mainly 80s, end of 70s and 80s, was a very lucky time in Malá Strana, because there were not too many tourists. There were a lot of artists and a lot of people who enjoyed to be in the heart of the city, to be in Malá Strana. They somehow evaluated the quality of environment, architecture, history, monuments. And there were a lot of them were doing everything by themselves. So they changed their new apartments, villas for shabby ground floor, three rooms somewhere in Vyšehradská Street, to just to be there. A lot of them had to move out because the renovation program came. That was part of my, let's say, political involvement in late 80s, because we were protesting and we were against the removal of local people somewhere out and renovation and some new, better people moving in, which was the case. We were a quite strong community. I was living in Vyšská Street 15, which was a big house with a big yard. And despite the fact I was a newcomer, I was a newcomer in 77. They took me like local within a couple of years. And I became one of representatives of Malá Strana after the Velvet Revolution.
And how do you view Malá Strana today?
Yeah, that's a big difference. You may dream about going against the flow of time and to return to that melancholic atmosphere of foggy Vlaská Street, walking to Petřín, Lobkovická Zahrada, walking the dog or walking with kids. Well, it's over. It will never get back. I believe that some balance can be found between the logical interest and pressure of tourists and visitors and the interest of locals, because the local atmosphere is disappearing. But it's not a fault of tourists, it's a fault of local people who are not fighting for keeping that. The first thing they did after the Velvet Revolution, they sold their, if they restituted the house, they sold their house, they sold their bakery in Mostecka just for stupid money, because they simply saw the richness as their goal instead of keeping the tradition. You don't see it in Great Britain, you don't see it in many countries. People are proud of being a local butcher, a local baker, and they keep that tradition. And I believe that keeping that through that wild 90s or end of the last century, it would be profiting now. It would be really something unique.
This is a big question, but I wanted to ask you, as an architect, how do you view the way Prague has developed since the beginning of the 90s?
There are different aspects. From the point of view of renovation, reconstruction, improvement of the quality of environment, from health aspects to noise and all that, it's much better and I cannot complain. I'm part of that. I was designing several houses and I took part in that process. Concerning the let's say the urban sprawl, sprouting to the environment, to the neighborhood, satellites built around the city, that's not the most positive development. But it was, again, it was something which probably had to go through.
I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you, what is, in your view, the best building that's been built in Prague in the last couple of decades?
New one, if you are talking about the new building, it's more difficult than renovation, because the best building, I would remind you, is Obecny Dom, is the municipal house, which we renovated in 94-97 as a city of Prague. I have to quote Dancing House. I have to talk about Rashin. If you would like to mention something on the international level, what's recognized, it's probably Rashin Dancing House only.
That was Jan Kassel, the former mayor of Prague. And if you enjoyed that edition of My Prague, you'll find around four dozen more on our website. That's radio.cz. If you have any comments about today's programme, do please get in touch. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz. And you'll also find us, of course, on Facebook and on Twitter. But that's all for now. From me, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening and enjoy the rest of your weekend.